time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hey, Thrivers. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast. This is Lee Bockham. I am a Thriveologist, which means that I study thriving every single day. Unfortunately, sometimes I struggle to be a thriver myself. And so when I am talking about the different aspects of thriving in these podcasts, part of what I'm doing is talking to myself. And today is certainly no exception. Today we're talking about can't, the word can't. And the reason I think this is so important is because it becomes such a clear mindset. I think that in days past, I would have considered myself to be the king of can't, you know, that some idea would come up and I would say, oh, I can't do that, or that can't be done. And what I've noticed over time is that more and more I question whether it can't be done, whether something really is with it without capacity of being done. And as I look at how my business has developed and different ideas in my business, there are a lot of things that I would say that can't happen in the business. And then it does happen because I changed the thinking. And a lot of times I find myself presented with opportunities and possibilities. And my initial reaction would be, that can't happen. I can't do that. We can't do that. And what I've realized is how much of that is just stuck in my mindset. It's frozen in that place. Now, the thing about a mindset is that we tend to reinforce it ourselves. So if we say we can't do something, we tend to find proof, evidence that we can't do it, that it's not possible, that nobody could do it perhaps, but certainly we can't. I think back about some understanding I had, it was a number of years back. I was visiting India on a trip to look at a mission program, and as we were traveling around, I looked down a side street, and there was an elephant down that side street, and it occurred to me that I'd heard the story about elephants, because that elephant was really tied to a tiny piece of rope, and that tiny piece of rope was staked to the ground, and it was nothing of a rope. I could have broken the rope, but that elephant was frozen in place, And what I remember is that there's training that happens for that elephant. When the elephant is a baby elephant, they chain that elephant, that baby elephant with not much strength. They take a big chain and they stake it to the ground, and that elephant pulls and pulls and pulls against the chain, unable to move it. And over time, that elephant learns that the elephant can't move when the elephant's staked to that chain. And then they start replacing that chain with rope that's strong and then smaller and smaller and smaller, until as the elephant grows up, the elephant always remembers that moment as an elephant, a baby elephant, learning that the baby elephant couldn't get away from the chain. It would pull and pull and pull and was stuck. And so what happens is the elephant has come to believe that when the foot is tied to the stake, there's nothing that can happen, that it can't get away. Now, an elephant as a full-grown elephant could have pulled that stake out of the ground even with the strongest of chains, but once that baby elephant learned the lesson, the adult elephant carried on that lesson of mindset that there's nothing that can be done. It was a conditioned response that over time, the elephant kept believing the same story. I can't get away when that's tied around my foot. And so it doesn't matter how small the string is. It doesn't matter how small the obstacle is. The immediate response is, I can't. I can't get away. We humans do the exact same thing. We just have a different way of doing it, because we have the capacity of actually thinking through questions and thinking through statements and thinking through words. And those words are what tend to keep us stuck. And so as I began to think about can'ts in my own life, it occurred to me that there are different kinds of can'ts. In fact, there are really four different kinds of can'ts. The first kind is, I can't because it's not possible. This is where we're talking about something that's completely physically impossible. I can't grow wings out of my back, at least not where science is now. Maybe one day they can clone something into me. But right now, I can't grow wings out of my back. Right now, I can't suddenly change my height. Now, there are ways to do that, right? I mean, extreme ways of doing that. But let's just stay within the realm of kind of daily life. I can't do that. I can't change my race. I can't change my background. I can't change where I came from. I can't change the things that have happened to me already. Those are all examples of the not possible. I can't change what's already there. I can't change some of the biological pieces, and I certainly can't change the experiences of my life that have already come. So there is that category of I can't. But the thing is that those are the givens of life. Those are the things that we just can set aside. If somebody says, hey, I want you to grow wings out your back, I can simply say I can't and move on. Or if somebody says, you know, you need to come from a better family than you came from, I can say I can't and not worry about it, realizing that I can't change some things. But that's a given. That's just the background noise that we don't have to really concern ourselves with. There's another category that's more important. There's the I can't of not yet. Not yet is really about timing. And it might have to do with a phase of life, about understanding things, about capacities. You know, you can't be an adult until you have gotten to that point in life. And so it's not yet. And there are lots of places where that not yet fits in. And some of that has to do with our next can't of I don't know how. Sometimes the not yet and the don't know how go hand in hand. Don't know how is another version of can't, which is, I don't know how to do that. I can't do that skill yet. Now, that's really a matter of acquisition of skills or a matter of practice. It's not really something that holds us back. If somebody wants to learn something, it's certainly possible to learn that skill. I can't is a not yet, and I don't have the skills. Those go hand in hand. I was talking with a med student years back, and he was talking about how he didn't know if he was going to be able to make it through and become a surgeon because he didn't know how to do things. And when he was in the operating room, he felt so awkward, and he didn't know how he was ever going to get those skills. And I reminded him that those were two pieces of the not yet and the don't know how. It was going to take some time. He wasn't a surgeon yet. He was on the process of becoming a surgeon, and he didn't have the skills yet, but he was on the process of gaining those skills. And these two, not yet and don't know how, are two of the big ones that hold us back because we often say, I can't because I don't have a skill or the timing's not right. And we take that on as a, I can't, it's not possible. But they're really about timing and about acquisition of skill and a matter of practice. I remember so well this experience when I was a child. When I was a child, I did lots of magic tricks. I was a magician and performed lots of different places. And a lot of the tricks I would learn were sleight of hand, where I had to learn a skill. And I remember one moment, it was early on in those days when I was trying to learn some magic, and we were leaving the beach. We were headed home from vacation. And I went by the magic shop and I bought this one last trick that had kept me mesmerized the entire time, every time I would go into this magic shop, which on our magic, on our vacations was several times during those couple of weeks. And so I would watch each time and I just could not figure out how this trick would happen. And all it was a small little wand with six different colors on the wand. And those six different colors, somebody would choose one of the colors and the wand would transform to that color. And it kept me amazed. What I missed was that it really was a sleight of hand. I just assumed it must be something easy that I just was missing about it. And I kept trying to come up with these mechanical solutions. And so on the last day of our vacation, I bought that trick. And I remember we were dashing out. We jumped in the car and were headed down the highway away from the magic shop and away from any help of somebody showing me how to do that trick. And I opened it up and I realized it was just sleight of hand. Now, it was just a very simple sleight of hand. Now, understand when I say simple, I don't mean easy. A lot of times in magic, the real solution behind it is a very simple, straightforward approach. And the problem with we humans is we complicate way too much. And so a lot of the times we come up with these great, complicated, contorted ways that a trick might happen when it's very simple. And that was the case with this. It was a very simple move, but not easy for my little hands that had never learned that sleight. And so I remember I looked at that and I was just so frustrated and I said, I can't do this trick. Well, by the time I admitted that, we were at least a half hour away from the beach. And my father, not just practical, but not willing to turn around and spend another hour and a half on the road that day just so I could ask the owner of the magic shop how to do it, said, well, you'll just have to figure it out. And I said, but I can't. I've tried. I can't figure out how to do this trick. It was completely frustrating me. And so I sat it down and I just rode in silence for a while. I don't know how long. It might have been 5 minutes. To my young mind, it seemed like hours of frustration of trying to figure out how that trick was going to work. And so finally, I was bored enough that I pulled it out again and I started working through it, slowly trying the move in slow motion and then trying over and over until I remember that moment where I went from I can't because I didn't know how to I could because my little muscles had gotten used to it. And suddenly the I can't do this trick was I can do this trick. I can do it. And so at the beginning of that trip, I was at that point of not yet, that there was a timing piece to it, that where my fingers were at that point, that there was not an acquisition of skill yet. And so it was a not yet and don't know how. And through that short moment, I remember it still so clearly, that moment of triumph of where my finger suddenly did the move, suddenly automatically moved through that sleight of hand. So I went from not yet and don't know how to now, and I can do it. And that reminded me so many times over the years of that moment when we think we can't until we can. That thinking we can't keeps us stuck until suddenly we can when we do something different, which is we work on getting those acquisition of skills. And so I often talk about this, especially when I'm talking with people about their relationships. It's one of the things that I spend a lot of time doing is talking to people about their marriages and their long-term relationships. And they often say, you know, I can't get this to work. And my response is, well, not yet. Maybe the timing is not right. Maybe there's still too much pain involved between the two of you. Maybe there are lots of things getting in your way. So it's a not yet. But it's also a I don't know how. I don't know what to do. So let's talk about the skills you need in place, waiting for the timing to come along so that you can get to that place. Now, let's be honest. When I'm talking with people about relationships, sometimes it's a not possible because a relationship is built with two people. And maybe the other person is going to always refuse to participate, is always going to choose to check out of that relationship. And so it's possible that it's a not yet, but or a not possible. But sometimes we assume it's a not possible when really it's a not yet and don't know how. And so we have to wait for the timing while we're gaining the skills to get us there. When I finished that conversation with that med student, we had talked about the fact that not yet, you can't be a surgeon, certainly even at the point when you have those skills, until you've finished your residency and specialization and you're leaving to go into practice. And the acquisition of skills happens between now and then. So he had both a combination of not yet, that he had not been giving his degree and he had not done the training involved in getting to that point in time when he was a surgeon, nor did he have the skills involved. But those were just part of a process of gaining that. It was not a matter of not being able to. It was a matter of waiting out the timing and of grabbing those skills as they came along. So there is one more can't, and that can't is really a won't. It's a choice. I won't do that. I won't be a part of that. I won't decide to move in that direction. And sometimes I won't is a very good response. You know, and when I think about the ideas that have come my way in business, and that's one of our difficulties in life is there's so many possibilities around us that a lot of times we need to really say, I won't do that. I won't chase that down. I won't go after that new shiny object. I won't try this. And those are very appropriate points. And to be able to claim that, and instead of hiding behind, I can't do that, to really say, I won't do that. I choose not to participate in that. That's completely legitimate. But there are a lot of times when we just don't want to take responsibility. I can't be friends with you is really I won't be friends with you. I can't work on this relationship is really I won't work on this relationship. I can't be a part of this organization is really I won't be a part of this organization. Those are choices we make. And the problem is when we substitute can't for won't, we lose our responsibility, our personal responsibility of having made a choice. So sometimes we need to begin to examine when we say won't, what we really mean by that. Are we really meaning I can't, or is it really I won't? So let's quickly go back through those types of can't. One is it's just not possible. You say, I can't fly with wings out of the back. That would be about physical impossibility. Remember, though, there is this idea of a growth mindset. Growth mindset versus a fixed mindset says that we are always capable of learning new skills. So you might be able to say, I can't play on an NBA team. But that's different than I can't play basketball. I might be able to learn those skills of basketball and play better and better. Or you might say, I can't fill in whatever it is. I can't be at this level. But that doesn't mean you can't become better at the skills of that. You can improve whatever skill you decide to take on. That's the growth mindset. So the first type is not possible, and is very careful to really look at that and say, is it truly not possible? And if so, accept that, move on, that's a given. Then there's the not yet. That's about timing. And sometimes the timing piece, based on the current status of where you are, also affects the third piece of I don't know how. Timing often has something to do with gaining those skills, the I don't know hows, of answering those with an acquisition of skill or practicing some piece until you get it down. And the last one is I won't. That's about making a choice and to accept that you're not making a choice. And so there are two pieces I just want to point to of what to do next. One is I have been working from changing away from being the king of can't. We can't do that. I can't do that to being asking the question, how can I do that? How can I take that on? And I begin to wear that around. You know, as something comes along, a possibility for business or for personal or relationships, and I'll ask the question, how can I? And if I ask that long enough, I might eventually get to the place where instead of it being about skill acquisition or a timing piece, it really is a matter of I won't do that. I choose not to. And what I realize is that when I say I won't do that, suddenly I've stepped into personal responsibility. I've chosen to be responsible for my actions rather than letting the world push me around and letting my front leg be tied to a tiny piece of string that makes me think I can't do something. So let me challenge you as you go through the next week to begin to look at when you say can't, which type of can't is it? Is it a can't, it's not possible, or is it a can't, the timing's wrong, it's not yet? Or is it a can't, I don't know how, so I've got to gain the skills, I've got to practice? Or is it really a can't, I won't? My experience is many times it's a won't. I've chosen not to. I've already limited myself, even if I don't realize that. And I would challenge you that during this week to change your language from I can't to how can I, or at least to arrive at a place where you're willing to say, I won't do that, and claim personal responsibility. Okay, that's it for today. We've talked about the can'ts. I hope that I've given you some ideas on how to change that can't around, because those can'ts are really limiting. We often end up just in a conditioned response lifestyle only because we use that word can't. So I challenge you to look at the can'ts in your own life and decide which one it is and how you can take that on and change it. If this has been helpful for you, I would love it if you're listening by iTunes just to leave a review in iTunes. You can find us just by doing a search in iTunes for Thriveology and leave us a review for the podcast so others can find us. If you're on Twitter, I would love for you to send just a little love our way. If this has been helpful for you, just repay the favor by simply typing into your browser thriveology.com/love. That's thriveology.com/love. And that'll put a pre-populated tweet ready to go. Just hit send and you can let people know how to find us. Otherwise, I wish you the best as you continue to have a thriving life.
Been listening to the Thriveology podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at thriveology.com or at thriveologymagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled Thriveology. It's your life, time to live it.